It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Also, you asked about Colts. I left you hanging. So Kirk Cousins, solar powered.
Yeah. And you discussed that and more on Get Up this morning, which we will dive into momentarily for Bart's bits.
Grimes once again missed it.
And we will get to. But we're in hour number three of Barton Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. The close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. When it's hour number three, Bart Scott, what's that mean?
It's usually that hour, but do we have a different hour today?
No.
Okay.
We want to see. The people are going to decide which they would prefer from here on in. So this for you is sort of like, you know, like your last at bat.
Oh, damn. This Apollo, and I've been a reigning champ, and now I got a competitor. Okay, go ahead. Set me up again, Denby.
All right. When it's hour number three, what's that mean, Bart Scott?
It's the power hour, hour. I'm excited to hear what this other thing is. So I'm going to go ahead and enjoy it.
Well, all right, let's do that. Let's do that because yesterday when you weren't here, we didn't have anybody to give us the power hour. So we decided, as we all agree, everything sounds better in Spanish. So Lactavius, Crustaceous, Ignatius, Blanco the Third decided to step in. He's our Spanish, of course, translator. Mm. He stepped in and gave us almost like a World Cup preview kind of power hour. So, Lactavius, are we ready?
Let's do it.
First of all, you just did that in English, which, why?
Perdón. Discúlpeme, okay. Por favor.
Does he have
when it's hour number three, play? Lactavius, what does that mean?
Esta es la hora del poder, 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 poder.
I don't know, man. That's really good. How are you feeling about that, Bart?
I like it. I like how you rolled.
I feel like we scored a goal.
I feel like he rolled an R or something in there.
I did say yesterday, you have to roll the R's when you're saying poder. You can't say poder, poder, poder. Like, you have to say poder, poder, poder.
Because it sounds like a motorcycle.
It does. But I like it.
Han.
I mean, you got to emphasize it.
When was Hispanic Heritage Month? Was that October?
September 15th, I believe it starts.
Damn. Mm-hmm. They only gave you a month?
It is Hispanic Heritage Month.
But why they only get the brown people a month?
You know, this is a conversation you take up with somebody else.
so they get African Americans the shortest month, and then they give y'all the month with all the other holidays in it.
I don't know where to go from.
Why is everybody looking at me right now? That's like, I'm the one that decided this.
You
right?
felt like, the piercing.
Like, we all
eyes.
Got together.
You was on the group chat. It was you and your friends out on the group chat.
we're all in the Zoom.
we'll get Bart and his peoples the shortest month.
Well, we got to give them a month. What do you think?
And then you think about Spanish Heritage Month being in September. How many holidays? My kids had half of September off anyway for another holiday.
And it wasn't because of Hispanic heritage.
Right. It wasn't because of Spanish heritage, but. Jeez. Man.
All right. So can we all agree, though, that we do like the Spanish version of Power Hour? So when necessary, sometimes we can go to it, especially during the World Cup. I think during the World Cup, it'll be fitting to do it, right?
Is it like Qatar, it? Right? Did they fix those human rights things?
No, they did not. Oh. They did not. We're just going to keep rolling through it because. You know. But we can't have beer, though. You're not going to have beer. So
no beer? Hey, you're not going to have beer.
They don't want to have beer there. Anyways.
What are they having? Wine?
As Stosh gets more and more uncomfortable, let's move on.
I think he liked the power hour, though.
I think he enjoyed that. Let's try to enjoy this. Bart's bits, what he said on Get Up. Okay, toss the production. Meanwhile.
Not enough O's and smooth.
Man, we got people knocking on doors, yelling J-E-T-S. We got Bart talking about months. And
everybody getting ready for Thanksgiving, man. That's what it is.
Everybody I talk to on this show doesn't hear me.
Just put Josiah in a trance. I don't know. Like, it was so weird.
Anyway.
Josiah, I'm getting called out right now.
He doesn't listen to the show.
Everybody's Josiah. In trouble. Listen.
I'm putting cases on all you
That's right. So let's move on. Bart Scott on Get Up this morning had his interesting takes, as always, including this one on the Packers.
They have to earn the respect of the bullies. Teams like Tennessee, the Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers of old, you know, some of Nico's Patriots, you have to earn their respect. And to do that, you can't go in there tiptoeing into the cage. You got to go in there screaming like a banshee like Brian Billy used to say and pump them right in the face. And it's going to come down to Thunder Thighs and A.J. Dillon and also Aaron Jones. He's going to have to be tough in between the tackles. You got to say, listen, man, go ahead and lather up today because it's going to be one of those days where we're handing you guys both 20 carries. That's the only chance they have. And then when they get the respect and they get that safety in the box, that's when you go to the youngster, Christian Watson, and say, we need you to catch one for us, buddy. Can you run the old Terminator, the old number one?
Packers and the Titans tonight start off week 11 on Thursday Night Football, and you say that their best chance to win is not through Aaron Rodgers, but through the run.
Yeah, man, they got to establish the run. Listen, it's a reason why, you know, last week they brought in Simons was out. And it was a tough, close game. You know, they weren't able to really run the ball, Tennessee either, because Tennessee wants to run the ball too. So it's a possession game. And you don't want it to come down to one possession, King Henry running the football, and your guys have been lathered down. You want to keep King Henry on the bench as well and play keep away for them so then you can wear their defense down. So when you really have to have it, they don't have any legs or they don't have the gas to be able to go. And then when they have to put that eighth man in the box, listen, you know, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones is a great twosome. You know what I mean? They can run the ball. They're physical. They're big backs. They're not scat backs. And they can do this, much like Washington did last week, you know, against Philadelphia. Keep the chains moving, time of possession, keep that offense on the bench, and then put pressure on them because if you go up a score or two, then now they have to come out of their character, maybe throw the ball a little bit, which plays into the hands of the Green Bay Packers.
All right, Josh Allen has thrown multiple interceptions now in three straight games, and you talked about what he needs to do to – get out of this rut.
There's a big difference between being aggressive and reckless. And sometimes he's reckless. And reckless will get you beat. Because when you talk about getting in and playing against teams that are good, it's usually the difference in the turnover battle. We used to see this all the time with Brett Favre. And we used to give him a pass, right? He had the record for most touchdowns, but he also had the record for most interceptions. And, you know, same thing, make you laugh, make you cry. This was an opportunity where maybe you just don't be that aggressive. That's throwing it to tight windows into the end zone. That wasn't third down, wasn't fourth down, wasn't have to have it. You live to fight another day sometimes, and he has to find that line.
And Josh Allen said that he's got to play not to not make mistakes, if that makes sense. He's not going to play safe, but he's got to, in your opinion, play a little bit safer.
A little smarter. I mean, you talk about shoot or shoot. Ask John Starks, man. Sometimes you can shoot too much, and you got to, you know, you got to do something different. You know what I mean? And listen, we talk about, you know, Brett Favre. We also talk about Aaron Rodgers. Nobody's never said Aaron Rodgers isn't an aggressive quarterback. He doesn't have the same amount of turnovers that Josh Allen has, right? Mm-hmm. And so it is a line where you can kind of be smart with the ball and sometimes believe in your teammates and not trust your arm. Guys with big arms are always an issue. Jay Cutler, you know, Jeff George, Brett Favre. Guys just think, I can fit it in through anything. And then they throw interceptions, or turnovers, when you expect them to be better than that. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers found that line. You know, Tom Brady's found that line. He doesn't throw a lot of picks, but he's aggressive. He's not afraid to succeed. And, you know, all to a certain extent, Patrick Mahomes. You got to be better.
All right, we continue. Bart's bits, different takes he had on Get Up this morning, as each week on Thursday he is on Get Up. So here's another one. This one involves one of his favorite topics lately, Dak Prescott.
He has to show us that he can step up and he can elevate his team when the guy across from him is considered a upper echelon quarterback. Listen, I've always said, like, the mark of if you're above Kirk Cousins, you're good. If you're below him, then you're average. And right now, Kirk Cousins is playing at a level we haven't seen him play at underneath this new offense. They're going to get a lot of the same with Dalvin Cook and running the football. Justin Jefferson might be the best receiver in the game. So Dak is going to have to answer. He's going to have to respond.
And that's been his issue. 1-8 so far against the elite quarterbacks of his era. And he has to be able to beat those teams that have the above average quarterbacks, in your opinion.
Absolutely, right? That's how you define greatness. Like I said, like, you know, nobody's, you know, afraid to be, like, nobody's disappointed to be Jimmy Butler. And I thought that was a compliment, not an insult, right? Jimmy Butler's a damn good football player. But Dak Prescott, if you want to be considered elite, it's levels to this, right? You got average, you got good, you got workmanlike, or you got that. You know, all those buzzwords. And then you got the elite. You got big time. You got the baddest man on the planet. Those are the titles that go to people that win the head-to-head matchups, not the ones that fall short all the time. We call that data boy. Coach always hate hand clappers and A-slappers. We don't rock around with that, man. Like, my bad. Because after a while, no, it ain't your bad. It's my bad because I keep believing that you're going to win a big game, Dak.
All right, last but not least, Bart's Bits from Get Up This Morning. We always like to have fun with Kirk Cousins and talking about how, you know, during the day he's great. It's like he's solar-powered. But he plays at night, and we know what his record is in these primetime games. He's 10-18. But Bart said it's time to give Kirk Cousins a little bit of respect.
When you have a win like you had last week, the momentum is on your side. You start believing that you're a team of destiny. Like, that was a quality win against a great opponent, arguably the best opponent in all of football. I understand there was a little luck involved in it, but sometimes better be lucky than good. This team is confident. You know, this team is playing at a high level, and they have bona fide superstars. And Kirk Cousins is playing, I believe, at an MVP caliber level. And we have to start giving him credit and stop saying that he's solar powered.
We can't say it anymore, but it's funny, Bart. It's funny.
It is. Maybe he has that lithium battery that, you know, even when it stores all that battery from the sun, and he can carry it into night. Just briefly, midnight he is done. So those games are earlier than midnight. He good.
He's like a gremlin. Okay. All right. That's Bart's Bits from Get Up This Morning. It's Bart Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join their growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
28-yard field goal attempt. Out of the hole to Pat O'Donnell. Jack Coco on the snap. Mason Crosby for the win. Snap placement. Kick is up. And it is good!
Yes!
Good! And there is your dagger! The Packers jumping all over Mason Crosby, who's done it again to the Cowboys.
WTMJ with the call as needed win as the Packers and Aaron Rodgers and company stop the bleeding, end a 5-game losing streak with an important win, and they beat the Cowboys at home. And now they face, I think, for the rest of the season, it'll be all these must-win situations. Rob Demoski does a fantastic job covering the Packers for us at ESPN, joining us right now. And Rob, how we doing?
Well, Alan, I just got back from outside in the stadium doing a live TV hit on This Just In, so my hands are a little cold, but my mouth is moving, so I should be okay.
Listen, Cantori's already in Buffalo, so nobody wants to hear you complaining about cold. You know, that's going to be the story when it comes to weather this time around. But I have to give you credit. You did your stand-up last week. And I know you picked it out. I know you decided, I'm going to do this stand-up in front of, what was it, Holmgren Way and Mike McCarthy and Way. The crossroads. Yeah. It was perfect what you did. But how big was that win?
I couldn't miss that opportunity. Yeah. Oh, that was huge.
It's all visual.
It was huge, Alan, for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, forget that Mike McCarthy was coming back, and, you know, obviously, you know, it was a big game for that reason, for both teams, really. But, I mean, if the Packers don't win that game, they're then going into a short week, just reeling even further with a 6-game losing streak, and they would have been 3-7, and it would have been over for all intents and purposes. Now at 4-6, there's a little bit of light there left, and they have a little bit of a pulse. The locker room this week, I shouldn't say this week. It was really one day because of the short week. We had access on just Tuesday, but it was just the mood was so much lighter. You know, no one wants to come to work and be down all the time, but they needed something to go right for them. And it was just, guys were just different this week. I don't know if that translates, to Thursday, not to tonight, if it can carry over, but I know this, their mood was so much different this week.
Well, Debo's coming to town, and he's looking to start snatching chains, and he know that they got their chain on, so they can tuck it in all they want. He's going to try and take it from them. Can they stand up to the bully by trying to play the same brand of football that the Titans – can they out-tighten the Titans? Because the Titans want to run the football, establish the run, and then take shots down the field.
Mark, they're going to have to, and here's why. It's not just because Aaron Rodgers has the thumb injury. It's not just because they're limited offensively in the passing game, although Christian Watson – gave teams something to think about. It's because their best players are Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. I mean, like, the season that Aaron Jones has had, you know, is not getting much publicity just because they haven't played very well. But, I mean, his production is outstanding. The problem is they just haven't been able to get him the ball enough because they're not staying on the field and they're not keeping the chains going on third downs. And their play counts are so low. Like, I mean, you know, they want to have 70, 75 offensive plays. They're having trouble getting to 60 right now. The only way to do that is to keep the ball moving. And here's the other thing with Derrick Henry, and you know this better than anybody, the best defense is your offense because you're keeping him off the field, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the best thing that they can do. I want to go back quickly to a game 2 years ago against the Titans. A.J. Dillon had his breakout game, had his first 100-yard game of the season, and you got to think that, you know, the Packers are going to at least try to lean on a little bit of what they did in that game a couple of years ago.
But the Tennessee Titans are second against the run, only surrendering 85 yards, and you're going to need more than 85 yards. Because if King Henry's going to be running the ball and Titans want to be able to run the ball and you want to be able to run the ball, you're talking about maybe 6 possessions for each team. That puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the team that's got to, you know, try and catch up. And will they be patient and not come out of character to catch up? The Titans, we know when they get down by multiple scores, they run. You know, will the Green Bay Packers be that patient to stick to the run no matter what? We saw a little dust up a little bit last week. When I believe it looked like Aaron Rodgers wanted to run the ball and LaFleur decided to throw it.
Yeah, they've done it in spots. Like, they were behind 2 scores in Buffalo, and actually that's kind of how they got back into the game a little bit, was running the ball, which has, you know, has not been their MO. There's just the problem right now, and really it's been the problem all season. And Alan Lazard told me this a few weeks ago. They don't have any staples on offense, meaning they don't have, like, the 10 to 15 plays that they know that they can run every week against every team and that they will work. And that's been, like, you could maybe you call it identity, right? Some people say that, you know, they don't have an identity. But the way that they put it, you know, the staple plays, they just don't have those right now. So they're kind of grasping at straws. So that's why I think you've seen such a fluctuation between sometimes they're committed to the run, sometimes they're not. I just think that's the reason that they're so all over the map.
Rob Demosky joining us right now, our ESPN Packers reporter. You got the Packers and the Titans tonight, Thursday Night Football, to start off Week 11. And for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers to get a win last week against the Cowboys, it just gives them that sense that, okay, as Bart always likes to say, a team is barbecue chicken. Not just yet, but we'll see how things go after tonight because we know it's always fluctuating.
Gotta
but
go Rob,
what I wanted to ask you has something to do with a topic that we've kind of held throughout the season, especially early on, especially through the losing streak, when Aaron Rodgers was having those issues with his receivers. Yeah. And it's because you are so plugged in there, you have the best perspective on this. And you might have talked about it elsewhere, but I just want to hear it from you here. It's the idea that he stays away all offseason. While Tom Brady gets everybody in and they'll all work together, he'll break rules to work out with his receivers. Patrick Mahomes had, you know, everybody, including Travis Kelce, to his place in Texas, and they spent a couple of weeks together just getting on the same page, especially once you have Tyreek Hill's gone. I'm going to need to get chemistry with some of these new guys. And Aaron Rodgers had two young receivers, a bunch of new people, and Davante Adams was gone, and he was like, yeah, I don't need to do that. Is that something that...
2 days.
Right. Is that something that is part of the reason why here? Are there people there looking at that there in Green Bay saying, if Aaron Rodgers just spent more time with Watson and Dobbs, this wouldn't be an issue?
No, that's a valid question. Here's the interesting thing about how they spun it over the summer. They were like, it's better for the young receivers to learn the offense before Aaron Rodgers gets here. That way, when he gets here, they're not making the mistakes that typically drive him nuts. Well, guess what? Young players are going to make mistakes anyway, and it's going to drive Rodgers nuts anyway. Look, it was a concession that they made. And you think about it this way. They sort of lost power over Rodgers once they gave him the 3-year, $150 million contract, right? Like, they had to do everything to get him to come back because they were that desperate to have him come back because they thought that was their best chance. And on the flip side, you gave up control over what you can ask Rodgers to do. Should Rodgers have been here? I mean, you know, the results would say, yes, he should have. But, you know, he was asked that early in the season, and he basically, you know, just poo-pooed it. You know, he just doesn't see it that way. Right or wrong, that's just the way he is. And I would think that it couldn't have hurt at this point, right? Like, if he had been here for, you know, what do they have, 10 OTA practices? You know, if he doesn't want to come here in April and May and do the individual stuff, the lifting, all that, fine, do that on your own. But there's 10 practices over the course of, I think it's 4 weeks from middle of April or end of April through the first week of June. He came to 2 practices.
Yeah.
This is a guy that like can be, I would think, for a young receiver, a bit intimidating because of his presence, his personality, and all that stuff. And to me, just being around them and being – nobody says you have to go, like you said, don't do all that stuff. But if you wanted to be in Colorado or you know, up in wine country, wherever you wanted to be, there's a field somewhere. And you just could, like, come hang out. Like, come out. It would break the ice. It just makes the players maybe a little less tense about things.
Yeah.
That when you're in live action, you're at least more comfortable. And he also just knows your tendencies. It just seems so obvious for me.
Yeah.
And it's something that I felt like has not been talked about enough with their issues. And now, maybe with Watson, who gets through the concussion stuff, that was a beautiful catch he made against the Cowboys. You know, did it take this long to find that chemistry, and is it too late? So those are all certainly the concerns now watching for tonight's game. Rob, great to talk to you as always. Wonderful job as always. All the best.
All right, guys. I'm going to have to go back out in the snow and sideways. Going to have to go back out there for NFL Live in a couple hours. So
is it mitten weather? Is it mitten weather? Or are you still isotoners? Are you mittens?
No, I went bare hands, and for one reason, because our Dan Graziano was giving me grief about wearing the gloves while I was doing my mic check, and it was only a mic check. It wasn't for real.
No, you got to be like, Graziano's like the offensive lineman. I'm going, like, you know, shirt sleeves. You know,
I don't have the hair like he does. It doesn't bother me.
He got the taco meat on his chest, too.
Keep the hat on. All the best, Rob. Thanks so much. Stay
all
warm.
Right, guys. We'll be seeing you.
All right. Titans, Packers tonight starts off week 11 in the NFL, and it's a very important game for both teams, really, but especially for Aaron Rodgers.
They got to go 6-2.
Yeah, that's what you say. And, you know, lose another game like this, and you start wondering, okay, did the Cowboys win really do anything or nothing at all for their season? Coming up, Bart, we got some breaking NFL news, and also one team told us what they think about their whole quarterback situation. We'll discuss. Bart and Hot, ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. This is your degree, PMP.
Oh, that video was gangster.
So we got some breaking news from Adam Schefter. So you remember yesterday it was, Lindell Joseph signed with the Eagles. And yep. Now it's Ndamukong Suh who signs with them. He has been sitting out after he played with Tampa. Yep. They just added 630 pounds to stop the run, Bart Scott, knowing that's the issue that the Commanders exposed.
Yeah, blank spot. They're like, oh, we can't let that happen. So, like, they know that you're not going to get more than 15, 20 plays, even though Ndamukong Suh is always in tremendous shape. Lindell Joseph, not so much. But, you know, in between them, you possibly got 30 snaps. And that's what you need. You need them first and second down. And, you know, they're doing that so they can have a nice rotation and a backup plan because Jordan Davis – He's not done for the year, but we know that he's not coming back anytime soon.
Right, yeah. He's going to be at least for another two games at least, according to Schefter. So, big moves there for the Eagles. Howie Roseman's just always looking to do something to get his team better. I mean, he has been aggressive. They added Robert Quinn, right, before the trade deadline as well. So, you know, they're trying to get this team to where they are a championship roster. And, I mean, they're pretty close.
Well, they can do that because they have a quarterback that they don't have to pay yet. That's why they're able to go out and pay all these guys and trying to win one while they still have Jalen Hurts under contract. But if Jalen Hurts kind of balls out and they get it this year, then he's going to get a long-term extension. So that's, you know, it's restart. They have tremendous draft equity because they have New Orleans' first-round pick, too, because they traded a first-round pick so that New Orleans can get Chris Olave last year. So they're good to be able to get young at different positions, you know, like pass rusher, because they're going to have a top 10 pick, you know, because they have New Orleans pick if it keeps going the way it's been going.
Mm-hmm. Now, more NFC East news coming off of their win over the Eagles, which, by the way, Sal Palantonio kind of predicted to us, didn't he? Remember we had him on last week?
Yeah.
And we were talking about when's that O got to go, and he thought it was, you know, when they faced the Commanders, and he was right.
Sal's usually right.
Taylor Heinicke is going to stay the starter against the Texans this Sunday. Carson Wentz, who had the thumb surgery and missed the last couple of weeks, he's cleared to throw, was expected to come back at some point this week, but he hasn't taken part in the walkthrough on Wednesday, and he has not been designated to return to practice, so he's really not available. So Taylor Heinicke remains their guy, and like I said, the stuff you heard out of them, you know, what Terry McLaurin was saying about him, how we rally around him and his personality, it just seems like for the Commanders at 5-5, why not just leave it the way it is because they have been a better team with him at the quarterback position?
Well, ride the high hand, right? And we talk about, you know, he has a little bit of Minshew mania in him. He has a little bit of Fish magic in him. And, like, the team rallies around him, to your point. You know, he gets them to play hard. They believe in him. And he's won, you know, about 500 as far as, you know, his record as a starter in his league. So they have talent out there. I mean, you look at Logan Thomas. You look at Curtis Samuel. You look at Terry McLaurin and Gibson. That's more than enough talent to get it done. And they're right there. They're right there. And eventually they're going to get Chase Young back. And probably this week, I believe, they're going to get him back. So that's going to fortify that front.
Yes.
And make them be able to be more ferocious.
So listen to this story, too. A little more NFL to talk with you about. There's been some little stories that come out throughout the last couple of days. So there's a former Seahawks and Broncos offensive lineman who was on Sports Talk Radio in Denver. And he said that there's an issue with Russell Wilson since he came to the Broncos. He said Russ is losing his mind out there. He's using audibles from the Seahawks.
No,
the guys don't know the audibles. He's using code words that the guys don't know.
Oh, God. You're having flashbacks.
Like, that could be confusing, don't you think?
Oklahoma. My goodies. Like, what? What the? My goodies. What the hell?
That's right. Maybe he just needs to, you know, switch it up to that. But, like, explain that to people, like, how that could mess with an offensive line if he's using audibles that they don't know.
They're like, I'm just going to be reactive and catch because I don't know if it's on two, on three. I'm going to wait to see when the ball is hike. The receivers are looking like, man, ouch. So they slow off their route coming on. Like, yo, bro, what the hell was that? Like, oh, my bad. Like, what you mean? Yeah, what you mean, yo, bad? The craziest thing, man, is how they're 32nd in offense and first in scoring defense. Their defense and their team is only giving up 16 points a game. That is like a goal. That's what you put up there and you strive to as a defense to hold your opponents to 17 points or less. That's like a win. And they're averaging that. And the only thing that's more impressive than that is the fact that their offense is as inept as it is, that they can be first one place and dead last on the other side of the ball. Somebody, I'll tell you, I will punch somebody. Somebody need to get punched in the face.
How does that go, though, like one series? Don't you go to the sideline and say something like, I don't know what the hell that audible is?
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't somebody have said something?
I'm sure somebody did. Like, oh, my bad. And then he just does it again? Yeah, because what happens is you revert to what you know when that fire on you.
That's so bizarre. And maybe that's what it is, too. Like, you just keep forgetting, like, because he's been so used to it for so many years in Seattle. Just some, some interesting stuff. All little tidbits around the league as we get ready for Week 11. And tonight it is the Packers and the Titans. We have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll finish up with calls and also a historic season will be recognized tonight. But how long will this contract situation drag out for one Aaron Judge? We'll discuss. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. So we had the Cy Young winners announced last night. Verlander gets it. It's no big surprise in the American League side of things. Tonight, we'll find out about the MVP. And in the American League, I know you love to troll. It's got to be Aaron Judge. How about this report from Jeff Passan from earlier this morning that the league is investigating whether the Mets and Yankees have colluded, violated collective bargaining agreement? Because there was a story that explained the Mets have a hesitancy to pursue Aaron Judge as a free agent.
Yep.
So the Players Association saw this. And it prompted them to request an inquiry with the league about it. The Athletic was the first to report the investigation. It's a paragraph in a story on the Mets, on SNY, which is, of course, the television station that the Mets had owned. And it discusses, quote, a mutually respectful friendship between Steve Cohen and Hal Steinbrenner, the Mets owner and the Yankees owner. And how they, quote, don't expect to upend that with a high-profile bidding war for Aaron Judge. So essentially, like, you know, people are all assuming that Steve Cohen's going to open the checkbook and go after Judge and cause all this stuff. And that story is suggesting that it won't happen because they have too much respect, which would suggest that it's been discussed. Yeah. So the union asked the league to investigate communications between Cohen and Steinbrenner. And the league plans to request records of phone calls, texts, and emails between them, if there were any.
They should have waited.
Rob Manfred was asked today about this investigation. He told reporters that he is, quote, absolutely confident the clubs have behaved in a way that was consistent with the collective bargaining agreement.
But it's been known out there that they weren't going to go after Judge. But, you know, like you said, and that's shortening his market. If you talked about it, like, hey, man, we're not going to do it, then that emboldens the Yankees even more to play hardball and not letting, you know, free commerce kind of happen. You know, so, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see how they proceed. Like, if they will maybe make, like, a dummy inquiry on Judge to see if they can just kind of act like, no, see, no, he's just too expensive for us. We really focus on getting Jacob DeGrom back and all the other pieces.
Yeah. But you know, if you're obviously the players' union, that's what you want. You want as many bidders on a free agent as possible. I mean, that's how this works. And if owners are like, yeah, you know, we're not going to get in on this because we don't want to have any problems with the Yankees, you're taking away any type of leverage the players have. The Yankees know one of the richest owner in the league is not going to go after him. It puts less pressure on them to offer him the most you could, you know what I mean? Like the best offer he can get.
Because that's apples to apples in New York. He knows, you know, maybe it's a different neighborhood, but he knows his surroundings, opposed to saying, okay, well, the Giants can give me a bunch of money or the Rangers can give me a bunch of money. You know, it's not the same, right? Because he's like, man, I love New York. This is the only place that he can go where he can get both if he wants to be with the Mets or if he wants to be with the Yankees. And, you know, for Cohen to put that out there, you know, then they're going to have to maybe – somebody's going to lose a couple of draft picks or something like that, and probably a nice little hefty fine if they find any evidence.
Well, they'd have to, again, find evidence first. And it starts with, you know, if there's any exchange between the owners. But I can't imagine – like, that's the thing with a story like this, is it sounds interesting until you think to yourself, do you think Steve Cohen texted Hal saying, don't worry about it, we're not going to do anything? Like, I don't think that goes on, right? Like at that level, you're not saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
You do that stuff in a conversation privately, maybe.
Yeah, if you got people that you.
But you don't do it electronically.
Yeah, but this
don't worry, we're not going to do anything. Come on, man.
You'll be surprised how like some people put that out there. Their private information.
Mm-hmm. Well, the story was, again, the story that SNY had is out there, and that's what I think alarmed everyone, is that, well, where does that come from? There has to be some sort of sourcing on that there was this understanding that the Mets wouldn't go after Judge or turn it into a bidding war because it would, you know, it wouldn't be good for the relationship between the owners and the two teams in New York. When we used to think, I always thought that that's exactly what Cohen would want, is to have that type of animosity and say, no, we're taking over this town and we're going to jack up the price for you. If he wants to stay, he's going to have to say no to something that we're willing to offer him. But they don't want to do that. They want to have they don't want to have that kind of relationship. So, you know, if you're Aaron Judge, your options to stay in New York might only be the Yankees, or at least that's what it sounds like right now. If he's going to stay in New York, it's with the Yankees. Now, let me ask you this. Yesterday, Anthony Rizzo signed pretty quickly a multi-year deal to stay with the Yankees. He and Judge have gotten pretty close. And as we know, Rizzo in the lineup with Judge, I mean, that was a very important piece to have next to Aaron Judge in the lineup. Would you think that if Rizzo knew Judge's heart was no longer to stay in New York, that he wouldn't sign so quickly? Or do you think that one has nothing to do with the other?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I was thinking about my free agency, I didn't care what somebody else was doing. It was about me and my own personal individual journey. And you lose a lot of teammates along the way. It's like 35%, you know, roster turnover. You know, he's going to have to say, I did what was best for me. There's the best place, right time. And I know even if we don't have Aaron Judge, we'll be competitive, and this team will spend to bring in a power bat like that.
So for him, and he talked about how much he loved being a Yankee, and as we know, that was him growing up. I mean, being a Yankee meant a lot to him. So me trying to read into this thinking that Rizzo knows something and Judge is staying just based on the fact that he stayed.
Nah, nobody knows that, man. Nobody knows what somebody else is doing.
That's what you got for me. What are you looking forward to tonight? Week 11, Titans, Packers. You got King Henry, you know, obviously.
I want to see if they can stop the bleeding, man. Can they stop the bleeding? Can Green Bay stop the bleeding? You know, Tennessee's in perfect position. You know, outside of the Saturdays on Sundays, you know, they got that division on lock. You talk about can they get them to that number? You know, they got to go 6-2. Can you add a loss to their record, and then now they all down for that back against the wall, can't afford to lose another one type of scenario?
I love this quote from Derrick Henry, that he still gets motivated from things back in high school. Mm. He said, they said I wouldn't make it this far at this position. Usually guys who are big and play running back in high school turn into edge rushers or get put on defense. Instead, he's become one of the most difficult players to tackle. So let's see, who is he going to stiff arm tonight as week 11 begins? Are you fired up?
Uh-huh.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen and watch the guys on the ESPN app. This is the Barton Hahn Podcast.